This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 11 key traits of a profitable rental property. But before we get started, just like to touch base with you guys and see how everyone is doing. I mean, we are experiencing more crazy stuff just going on in this nation. I know that the COVID is peaking all over the place in terms of the test results and so forth. Not an increase necessarily in fatalities, but any significant increase there anyway. But still, I know it's affecting folks in a crazy way. I know in here in my state, they're closing down things again after already opening up things. There's just a lot of people that are getting hurt here. We want to encourage you guys that hopefully you're doing okay out there and you're healthy and doing well. I do see some positive things happening in the economy, which is good for you. I know there's a lot of questions, and I'm getting them from people all the time. Is this a good time to invest? Is this, should I wait? What should I do? And I think, most of us right now, it's good to be a little cautious, and it's good to just sort of wait and see what's happening. But there are those that are moving forward that are actually finding good deals, closing deals, just every day here. So for those of you that that are motivated, I hopefully we can be a resource for you, definitely. And I want to remind you too, if you're starting later in life and you're thinking, I was going to start, but now I'm going to have to delay, and I'm not getting any younger, well, don't be discouraged. Warren Buffett obtained 99% of his wealth after 50 years of age. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but and he's not the only one. There's a lot of guys that got started late out there that did very successful. So don't be discouraged. You can start at any time. And we're going to be featuring a lot of folks that have been able to generate a nice little rental portfolio, even a little empire here and there, in just 5 years or even less. So don't give up. Let me give you a tip for the day here. This is a good one for landlords out there. If you want to, and investors just in general, that want to maintain and reduce your maintenance expenses, that is quarterly or biannual inspections. Build that into your leases if you can. There's a number of advantages to it, one of which is that you do get to see how your house is doing, or your unit or your apartment or whatever it may be. You can go inside and walk around and check things out to see how it's holding up, and whether or not the tenants are taking good care of it or not. Also, I think one thing that's really, really important is that there's also, you can see things that may be an issue later on. You should be looking under sinks. Now, it's not necessarily you. It could be your property manager or your maintenance person or handyman or whatever it may be. You look under sinks, around the toilets. You look for water damage. Look up at the ceiling. Are there any leaks there? You may have some roof issues. You can tell a lot that that hopefully you can intercept and maybe fix those things so that they don't become a bigger issue later on. But it's a smart idea. If you have a lease, build in that quarterly or biannual inspection. Okay, let's jump into our topic, 11 key traits of a profitable rental property. So we're going to look at, you know, how do you find those, the best investment in a neighborhood and in not just a neighborhood, but the right neighborhood? You know, are you looking to purchase a residential property, maybe to boost your portfolio or to grow your portfolio, or maybe this is your first actual purchase? You know, it can be exciting and very rewarding if you can get in there and make the right choice. You know, but income and rewards aside, the idea, you know, for a lot of people, buying that first property can be a little bit tough. If you've already got properties and you want to continue to grow your portfolio, you should be out there and you should be looking for the right properties. So we're going to talk about some of the key things that you can do here to avoid those landmines out there that can just be devastating to your real estate investing efforts. So the first thing is really, you know, starting your search is begin your search for a property on your own. Okay. I'd recommend doing this before you talk to a broker or an agent out there to look for those property. An agent or a broker can sometimes pressure you to buy before you have found an investment that really suits you best. And, you know, you learn a lot in the search process too. This is where you can kind of use your sleuthing skills here, and you're gonna, you know, also burn some shoe leather here too as you're walking around and checking out areas and neighborhoods and so forth. You know, you want to try to narrow down several key characteristics for your property. You know that first. As you start searching around, you'll figure out what type of property do I want to get. Do I want to get a single family home? Do I want to get a multi, maybe a small multi, or maybe I might want to buy a large apartment building? What's the location? What size? What kind of amenities? You know, once you've done a lot of that, come up with your criteria, then it makes it easier for you to know what to look for. And eventually you can talk to a broker or an agent if necessary. You don't always have to. Your location options will be limited by whether you intend to actively manage your property or hire someone else to do that. Now, if you're like me, that is only an out-of-state investor, then you're reliant upon that property manager. But if you can manage it yourself, I always say, hey, if you got a good area that's got the right numbers and everything else in place, boom, I would recommend investing in your backyard as opposed to going into unfamiliar territory. So let me get into these key traits of a profitable rental property. Number one, buy in a good neighborhood. I know that sounds like a big duh, but really that is really key. The neighborhood in which you buy will determine the types of tenants you attract and your vacancy rate. For example, if you buy near a university, chances are that students will dominate your pool of potential tenants. And, you know, not only that, but, you know, you could find that, you know, summers come around, everybody's gone, you've got vacancies. And then there are management challenges, also managing student attendance as well. So, and that's just one example. You want to buy in a neighborhood. Now, yeah, some people thrive on student housing, but if that's not what you're looking for, then you want to try to buy something that might be a little bit more geared towards what you're looking for. Also, you want to buy in an area where property taxes, number two, are not too high. Property taxes are likely to vary widely across your target area, and you want to be aware of how much you'll be losing. Now, high property taxes are not always a bad thing, especially if you've got a great neighborhood with great tenants, but they are unappealing, when it cuts into your bottom line. So it has to weigh itself up against the kind of rent that you can bring in. You can check out what tax rates are in the local assessment office, whatever your municipality is, and they'll have tax information on file. It's public information, and you can find out what property taxes are, and you can also find out if there might be some planned increases in the near future. I heard, for example, here in California that they're going to be doing a big boost in property taxes because of COVID, and so that's going to affect people that are you know, investing here that are crazy enough to do that. No offense to my friends that are investing here in California. But anyway, that's a key one, property taxes. Another one is good schools. Maybe an obvious one for some, but some people think, well, you know, I've got a small little studio apartment. I don't really have to be so concerned about the schools, but you know, there are other things that come with schools. You know, of course, if you have a family sized home, you know, that's, you're going to want to be in an area with good schools. Although you will mostly be concerned, you know, about the monthly cash flow, the overall value of a rental property comes into play when you eventually sell it. So the sales price is, you know, it's definitely a factor that people look at that are buying homes. If there are no good schools nearby, it can affect the value of investment, but it can also affect the quality of tenant you attract too. You know, good school ratings usually mean it's a good area in general. You know, if you have a property that has 2-3 bedrooms, or it could be a unit, could be a house, you want to have something that's in an area with good school ratings. Number four, low crime rates. No one wants to live next door to a hot spot of criminal activity. The local police or public library should have some accurate crime stats for neighborhoods. We did actually a whole episode on crime rates that you could do a search on. Just look under crime rates or crime statistics in our search bar, you'll be able to hear a whole episode on where you can get those crime rates. I have some that are sent to me, you know, every month. You can even do it every week on certain areas that I'm monitoring to see, you know, what's going on. But you're checking for the rates for vandalism, for serious and petty crimes, and don't forget to note if criminal activity is on the rise or declining, and you can find that in some of these services too that will give you these reports on a regular basis. Yeah, you might want to also ask about the frequency of a police presence in your neighborhood too. One thing that I noticed in one of my properties is that with the amount of riots that were going on in the area and talks about defunding of the police, that we're getting less of a presence in that particular area, which has me concerned. Number five, healthy job market. This is a key factor for any property you're going to be purchasing. You want to make sure that there are jobs that will attract good tenants. And you can find out, you know, job statistics and rate of growth over a period of time by looking at the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. You can also find that through census.gov. There's a few other sites out there that you can find that. Just do a Google search for job growth and name in the city. If you see an announcement, for example, about a major company coming into your area, you can be sure that workers are going to be flocking to that area if there are a lot of jobs available. And this can do two things. One, it can help give you a good pool of tenants to pull from. And it also means you can increase your rent because you've got some good paid people that are moving into that area. Number six, good amenities. Tour the neighborhood and check out the parks, restaurants, gyms, movie theaters, public transportation links, and all the other perks that attract renters. Look at a Google map of the area for places like Starbucks, Panera, Whole Foods, Walmarts. A lot of these areas will show you where there is good, strong growth. Now, Starbucks and Panera, Whole Foods, for example, are, you know, cater to a higher level of resident, a better income type resident. And they do a lot of research to find out where to put their stores. And that's a real key factor. If there, you see them sort of clustered in an area, that's an area where you want to try to find properties. It could be a very good area for you. So kind of a no-brainer there. But City Hall also may have a promotional literature that'll give you an idea of, you know, where they're focusing certain growth activities and development activities as well. So those are things that you might want to take a look at. Number seven, a future development. The municipal planning department for the city you're considering will have information on developments or plans that have already been zoned for that type of growth. And you want to find that out. Find out about recent zone changes that can indicate that there are some major developments going on there. Now, if there's a lot of construction going on, it could also be a challenge for you in terms of competition if they're building apartments or houses that might take away from your ability to be able to get, good, steady tenants and so forth. Number 8, number of listings and vacancies. If a neighborhood has an unusually high number of listings, that's a red flag. It may signal a seasonal cycle or a neighborhood decline. You need to find out exactly what's going on there. And in either case, high vacancy rates force landlords to lower rents to attract tenants. Low vacancy rates allow landlords also to raise rental rates. So you have to kind of do an assessment of what's going on there and if that's going to impact your bottom line. Number 9, average rents. Rental income will be your bread and butter. So, we talk about it here. Cash flow is king. So you need to know the area's average rent. Make sure any property you consider can bear enough rent to cover your mortgage payment, taxes, and other expenses. Research the area well, and such sites that I talk about here, Rentometer, and other online resources that can tell you what the average rents are in your area, and maybe try to estimate what they'll be for the next 5 years, for example. If you can afford the area, but now taxes are expected to increase, an affordable property today may mean bankruptcy later. So you've got to really take a look at things that may happen there along the way. 10, natural disasters. Insurance is another expense you have to subtract from your returns. So you need to know how much it's going to cost to insure your property. If the area is prone to things like earthquakes or flooding or other types of sort of seasonal things, like maybe it's in a tornado zone or whatever, coverage costs can eat away at your rental income, and it could cost you in other ways as well, especially if you're in a flood zone, you didn't know it, and all of a sudden, boom, your property's halfway underwater. Number 11, become a market expert. No matter where you're investing, you need to know as much about that area as possible, and even down to the neighborhood, to the streets that you're investing on, and become a local expert. You're going to want to monitor current trends, including any decreases or increases in the average rent, income, interest rates, and even unemployment rates and crime rates. Your ideal is to know that area as good as you can know your own backyard. And I know that's a little difficult because things are always changing and you're not there to sort of monitor it. But you want to just, again, to zero in and really know what you can about that area. I'd recommend subscribing to any local news, if there's any kind of local newspaper or online news media source, business journals, chamber of commerce newsletters, and any other local media. Being able to constantly forecast and stay ahead of the market can help lead you to become a more effective real estate investor. So looking at this in retrospect here, these are the steps. After you can find those traits and you find those positive traits in one area, you still want to continue to build up your database of information, okay? Official sources are great, finding things online or going to the county assessor's office or what have you, but you also want to just dig deep and sort of put on your CSI hat here and, dig into these neighborhoods and talk to the local neighbors. It's even better if you can talk to local renters. Sometimes they tend to be a little bit more honest about what's going on in the neighborhood as opposed to a homeowner. So you do want to, make sure you dig in there, visit the area multiple times. One of the things that I do with properties is I'll go there and I'll go and park my car early in the morning when people usually go to work and see how many of those cars are coming out of driveways in that area. If you don't see a lot of that, then you've got folks that aren't going into work. So maybe they're on assistance or maybe there's other issues. You want to try to find a neighborhood that looks like it's got healthy you know, economy and so forth going on in that area. The best investment properties, you know, especially for beginners, is generally either a single family home or maybe a duplex. You know, you start small. I mean, you don't have to start small. You can buy a large apartment building, but there's definitely a lot more education you're going to need. Sometimes starting with a home, which is something you may have purchased already because you're a homeowner, is not as difficult as jumping into a, you know, 50-100 unit apartment building. So I think, you know, going with, maybe if you're going to buy something, buy a duplex, because if you do have a vacancy, it's only a 50% vacancy as opposed to 100% that you would have with a single family dwelling. Also, you know, two or three bedroom homes or units tend to attract longer term rentals. Families, for example, are better tenants than single people because they're, you know, more they're more likely, you know, not to move out as because usually they have a family to move, their schools, and a lot of things that they're plugged into. They're more also more likely to be more financially stable and to be able to pay rents regularly. When you have the neighborhood narrowed down, look for a property with appreciation potential and good projected cash flow. Check out properties that are more expensive than you can afford, as well as those within your reach, because, you know, it's an interesting market right now, but it is a market that's open to negotiation, and you'd be surprised to what you might be able to buy a property for, even though it may be listed way beyond your budget. You don't be afraid to make an offer that may even seem a little embarrassing, but people may come halfway, and you'll end up buying a property you didn't dream you'd be able to afford. So, you know, watch the listing prices of other properties. Check town records for the final selling prices to get an idea of what the market value really is in a neighborhood. For appreciation potential, you're looking for a property with a few cosmetic changes and some renovations that will attract tenants who are willing to pay higher rents. So that's you know, the appreciation, even though we're buying for cash flow here, we also are hoping that we're going to have that little cherry on the top, which is, you know, equity that is built up in that property, especially as we pay down the mortgage. Determining the rent, as I mentioned, is key. You know, using Rentometer, Zillow, Realtor.com, other places where you can find what area rents are is important. You are going to have to just make an informed decision at some point. I made sort of a bold move, and with one of my properties where I just, you know, I asked for considerably higher than local rent, and was able to get people to come in at the higher rate. And what it indicated to me was that local rents were low. There were long-term renters there, and I was able to ask more because the market would allow it. So sometimes you don't always know, but it's good to do the research and to check and see what the numbers are. You know, don't get overly optimistic, but I would recommend too, you know, don't, if you set it too high, you're going to risk, you know, having an empty unit or an empty house there. So, you know, be wise in that. Also, to figure out the rent number, calculate what the place will actually cost you. Subtract your expected monthly mortgage payment, property taxes divided by 12 months, insurance costs divided by 12, and a generous allowance for maintenance and repairs. Don't underestimate the costs to maintain and keep the property. These expenses depend on the age of the property and how much you plan to do yourself. I just have a rule of thumb now that if you're going to buy out of state, don't buy a C property. C properties can be great, and you certainly have the opportunity to make more, but you also run the risk of other issues, and one of those is higher maintenance costs and other issues that come along with an older building. So, you know, just be aware of that. You can try to, you know, cut costs by doing your own repairs if it's something that's close by to you, you know, do you want to be on call 24/7? You always have the option of hiring a property manager, whether you live nearby or not. But I know a lot of people that live nearby but would prefer to handle that stuff themselves, or at least get, you know, a local handyman that they can call in if they can't do the work. Making the purchase is key, as, you know, make sure you are aware of the banks in the area that are lending, especially portfolio lenders. If you're going to be buying a lot of properties in a key area, there are banks that will carry all your loans for you, you know, up to the 10 that you can do by yourself, or 20 if you're married. But you got to, you know, got to visit the banks and find out who, you know, who's working with the investors in that area, who would be open to it. Sometimes not get the prime rates or the best rates if you're an investor. You do have to usually pay, you know, 20 to 30% down more, you know, higher amount down than you might if you were living in the place yourself. But if you can't house hack or do something like that, then, you know, you need to allow for that. And don't forget to pay for sufficient insurance. Renter's insurance covers a tenant's belongings, but the building itself is your responsibility. And the insurance may be more expensive than for a similar owner-occupied home. Like I mentioned, the property's mortgage, insurance, and depreciation are all tax deductible. And that's one of the wonderful things about real estate investing. But you do want to make those estimates as accurately as you can before you buy. So just in summary, you know, every state has good cities, every city has good neighborhoods, and every neighborhood has good properties. It takes a lot of footwork and research to line up all three. When you end up finding your ideal rental property, keep your expectations realistic and make sure your own finances are healthy enough that you can wait for the property to start generating cash. Just a key summary points here that you might want to zero on. Check out the neighborhood thoroughly. Its livability and amenities are key. A high neighborhood vacancy rate is not a good sign. It's a red flag. Get the heck out of there. Check out local selling prices to get a sense of local market value. And finally, find out the average rent in the area and work from there to determine if it's financially feasible. Well, that is it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled 11 Key Traits of a Profitable Rental Property. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.